Gospel of Matthew. So please turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. And we'll be reading only the verses 12 to verse 14. Matthew 15, verse 12 to 14. Then the disciples came to him and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you contain all wisdom and that you have all perfect wisdom by which you have created this world. And you have imbued your world and your word specifically with this incredible wisdom. I thank you, Lord, that we could look to you to find this wisdom. And I thank you that you are willing to give it to us if we would humble ourselves and listen. So I pray this evening, Lord, that you would give us these humble hearts and that we would listen to your word, be attentive, and that you would speak to us mightily today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, it's very easy to find information on anything that you want to find information on, just about. Nowadays, if you were to look for a bit of information, you don't go to Cape Town to their library. Nowadays, most people just take their phone out of their pockets and they quickly type in a few words, and in a few seconds, immediately, they find all the information that they want or might need. In the past, people thought that if that kind of easy access to information were possible, then suddenly the world would come together and we'd all be on exactly the same page. We'd all discover the truth together, and we would all know exactly how to discover the truth. But of course, that's not been the case. And through the proliferation of the internet and other kinds of medias, people, rather than discovering the truth, have just invented new ways to speak untruth continually all the time. And so this confronts us with a deep problem that we have to solve as Christians and even as members of this world. How do we discern what we should be listening to? What pieces of information we should be gleaning? And which teachers specifically should we take seriously? Which teachers should we disregard? And which ones should we take as wise? Now, this passage that we have in front of us in Matthew chapter 15 is in the context of Jesus confronting the Pharisees concerning their teaching. Specifically, they had been teaching, these Pharisees, they had asked the disciples of Jesus why they were not washing their hands as a ritual purification before they were eating food. And Jesus then confronts these Pharisees about their teaching. And he says that their teaching actually is false, because what they've done is they've elevated their traditions above the Word of God. And so they've nullified the Word of God. They've actually made the Word of God of little value to them and made their traditions as ultimately of value. And then the disciples, they say to Jesus, "Well, don't you know that if the Pharisees were really offended when you said these kind of things to them?" And Jesus then goes on to tell them this short line in verse 13. "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up." For Jesus then to describe exactly what's happening here in this distinction between what the Pharisees were teaching as teachers of the law and what Jesus was teaching as the Son of God come down with all wisdom, authority, and insight, is he uses this picture of a garden or a tree and a gardener as God. And for us to then understand this picture of the garden and the tree that he's portraying here, we have to see the different layers behind it. It's kind of like, have you ever stood in a queue at Pick and Pay? And you see one person in front of you, but if you just stand slightly towards the right, you'll actually see there's another person in front of them and another person in front of them. Or if you stand at the edge of a forest, you can see the same thing as well. You might be looking at one tree, but then you just stand once to the side and you see there's another tree behind it and another tree behind that. It's just so in the Bible as well. Many times, especially in the teachings of Jesus and in the rest of the New Testament, you find the teaching is layered upon teaching. And all you have to do is just stand to the side to see all these different layers that fall upon this teaching. So if we are to understand this teaching that Jesus is giving here about the tree and the garden and God as the gardener and how that relates to the Pharisees as false teachers, there are three passages that are really important for us to step aside and see them as the background to this passage here in front of us. The first passage we find in Isaiah chapter 5. So you can just write that down and we'll get through that in a few moments. The second passage is in Jeremiah chapter 17. And then the third passage is in Psalm 1. So Isaiah 5, Jeremiah 17, and Psalm 1. These are going to be the passages that are actually going to show us exactly what Jesus means here when he is talking about the Pharisees and this metaphor, this picture, this parable of the plant that he is describing. Well, let me tell you about the three things that we'll discover as we look at these passages in relationship to this passage in front of us. We'll firstly discover the origin of the garden or the origin of the tree or the trees. We'll see the life of the tree or the life of this garden, and we'll see the destiny of the tree and the gardens as well. Let's look at each of these. Firstly, the origin of this tree. Take a look at verse 13 again. Jesus answered his disciples when they told him about this offense that he had caused for the Pharisees. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. What Jesus is saying here is that his heavenly Father has not planted the Pharisees. In fact, maybe someone else has planted the Pharisees. This brings back to memory the parable that Jesus had already told about the weeds in Matthew chapter 13. You might remember this parable very well. It goes like this. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while his men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in the field? How then is it that we have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them up?' But he answered, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them.'" So this is exactly what Jesus is picturing here when he is talking about these plants that have not been planted by his Father. The Pharisees then, in even their office as teachers, were not planted there by the Father. And it's an extraordinary claim to make because they were the official teachers of the Jewish community. It is sort of like if Jesus were to come back today and he were to tell the church universal, well, all the pastors that you have thought were actually your teachers, they were not planted by my Father. They were actually planted by the enemy. It's that kind of radical claim that shakes us that Jesus is presenting before his disciples here. These Pharisees that are teaching the people of God, they were not planted there by God. They do not have their origin in God. And they do not reflect what God desires for his people. And you might think that's an extraordinary claim to make in light of the fact that we're talking about washing of hands. Whether you should be washing hands as a religious ceremony or whether you shouldn't. But Jesus goes much deeper than that in his presentation of what the Pharisees were actually doing. You see, in commanding people things that God had not commanded, they were actually distorting the word of God and they were relegating it to secondary importance. They were making other things more important, and that overshadowed everything that the Bible actually required of people. So then you can actually be disobedient to the word of God, but obedient to the teaching of the Pharisees. And Jesus is saying that is a path to destruction. There's another way that Jesus, that we find this almost a similar story being told in the Old Testament. It's a parable that we find in Isaiah chapter 5. And this is how it goes. It tells us also of the origin story of the people of Israel and the effect that happened upon them. This is what it says, Isaiah 5. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard and on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of its stones, and he planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for a yield of grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. Now, this is the picture of the origin of Israel, a story that's retold over and over again in the prophets, especially in prophets like Hosea as well, where initially God calls the people to himself, but then they rebel against him. And in fact, those people who are then instituted as their leaders and their teachers are leading them in a manner that God had not appointed for them. The origin of these are not in God. The origin actually is from the devil. Though they claim to be religious, they are actually from the devil. But there is another kind of origin. There's another kind of, and we see these things running parallel to one another so closely. Just as Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 assumes that the Pharisees were not planted there by his heavenly Father, the converse is true. That there is a kind of seed, there is a kind of tree that God has in fact planted. This is what we see in the parables where Jesus tells, for instance, of the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Though it is the smallest of the seeds, it grows into a mighty tree in which all the birds come to perch and they come to feed there. This tree, in fact, is planted by God. This tree is planted by the Heavenly Father. And so you can see these two different origins. The origin of the evil tree, you can say, the tree of the false teaching that we find represented here in the Pharisees, well, that was planted by Satan. And the origin of the good tree, the tree that Christ wants for himself as his bride, well, they, we see, are planted by God himself. So that concerns the origin of these two trees. What about the life that these two trees have? This is the second thing we see, the life that these two trees have. Take a look at verse 14. If you were to ask, what is going to be the life that someone lives once they have not been planted there by the Father? What is the effect of someone like the Pharisees who are teachers of the law, but at the same time, they have not been appointed there by God? And in fact, what they're teaching is against the word of God. What would that life look like? Well, Jesus describes it here for us in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 15. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Jesus here says the effect of them teaching this kind of way is that they would lead others into destruction because they themselves do not know where they are going. If they are blind, it means that they do not comprehend their own state before God. It means that they do not comprehend how they are supposed to live toward God. It means they don't know what it is to have a right relationship to God. They are blinded in their sin. And as Jesus describes later on in this very passage, their problem is the problem of the heart. Their hearts are still in love with their sins. He says in verse 19, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These things defile a person. Now, in the parable told in Isaiah, once again, if we look there, Isaiah chapter 5, we see there the same kind of life described of the people of Israel when they had rebelled against God. This life is described for us in Isaiah 5, verse 3 to 4. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more is there for me to do for my vineyard that I have not done it? When I look for a yield of grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? This is a theme that runs throughout the prophetic literature and also in the teaching of Jesus, as Jesus is the one who also curses the fig tree and expects to see a yield of fruit there in the season. Just so God looks at Israel and expects to see a kind of fruit. But what does he find? Well, in Isaiah, what he finds is he finds these people who have rebelled against him, who have ignored his word and have put aside his counsel, and instead they have followed after their own sinful devices. In Jeremiah chapter 17, we find exactly this theme developed as well. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 and 6, what this life looks like that has rejected God in this kind of way. So in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. This is the picture that is given here of those who have rejected God and his word, and those who have instead trusted in themselves. Can you see how this is so deeply connected to what the Pharisees were doing? Rather than trusting in the word of the Lord, they were trusting in the traditions of men, and they were trusting in themselves. And because of this, Jesus says that they are blind guides. In Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah draws this together in showing exactly that this is the problem. Their relationship to the word of God is the problem that they have. So Jeremiah 17 verse 12 says this. Sorry, not verse 12. From verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind and give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his deed, like the partridge that gathers a brood that she did not hatch. So it is for he who gets rich, but not by justice. In the midst of his days, they will leave him, and at the end, he will be a fool. A glorious throne sets on high from the beginning in the place of our sanctuary. Our Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth. For they have forsaken the Lord, the foundation of living water. You see, what the people of Israel were doing at the time, rather than trusting in the Lord and trusting in his word, is they were trusting in themselves. And this is exactly the same thing that the Pharisees were doing in Jesus' day as well. They were trusting in the traditions of men rather than in God's word itself. This is so reflected in Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount as well, when he tells us how we should be able to discern between a false teacher and a true teacher of the word. So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, when Jesus is talking about knowing a false prophet, I'll start reading from verse 15. He says this, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. You see, the thing to notice here is that Jesus is talking about false teachers. He says that if you want to know what a false teacher is, yes, you must listen to the kind of thing that they're teaching, but you should also look at their lives. And this was exactly the thing that Israel was doing in Isaiah chapter 5 and in Jeremiah chapter 17. They might say all the right things, as the Pharisees were, and they were certainly not saying all the right things. But they might say all the right things. But what was missing was a transformed heart, a transformed life. They have decided rather than responding eagerly, joyfully, and by faith in the Word of God, they were actually going to push aside the Word of God and make more important the traditions of men. This is a tree which Jesus describes like the Pharisees, like a tree that is like a blind guide, someone who is faltering, someone who is growing in darkness and leads others into further darkness, someone who lacks understanding and they perish because of their lack of understanding, someone who rejects the Word of God, and as in Jesus' picture that he gives, they will be rooted up. But there is another picture given to us of another kind of tree. This kind of tree is described for us in Psalm chapter 1, the first Psalm. This is how it goes. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water and yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. You see, this is the picture that is presented for us. There are two kinds of trees. Jeremiah 17, the one kind of person is a person who trusts in themselves, who doesn't trust in the Word of God. And like the Pharisees, rather than trusting in the Word of God, they invent new laws and customs and traditions that they rather trust in. And by doing so, they set aside the Word of God. But there is another kind of person. This is the kind of person who looks to the Word of God and not to the traditions of men. The kind of person who trusts in the Word of the Lord rather than in himself or in other people. And what Jesus describes of this person is that actually this is a characteristic of someone who is righteous, someone who is saved, someone who lives the life that God has intended for them to live. Now, this is exactly the picture Jesus wants to present before us. The one kind of tree, the Pharisees, their teaching, they were not only leading themselves to destruction, but they were leading others into destruction because of their rejection of the Word of God. And the other kind of tree, this kind of tree from Psalm 1, someone meditates on the Word of God, knows the Word of God, is obedient to the Word of God, has faith in the promises presented in the Word of God. What kind of life will they live? Well, Jesus here speaks of a flourishing life, but it's not flourishing in the worldly sense of the word. No, a better way to understand it is to understand it in terms of a pruned life, a life that God continually prunes. In John chapter 15, we find one of those beautiful pictures that Jesus presents of what he and his Father does to his disciples, those who know him and those who love him, those who walk with him. He says this in John 15, verse 1. I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Can you see what's happening here? The picture of a new and a living tree. It's this picture that is given to us of a true Christian, someone who is growing in his knowledge and his application of the Word of God, in his love to the Lord and his faith in the Son. But someone who has rejected the Word of God is someone who is pictured as being taken away. And this is exactly what will happen. So we've seen these two things so far in this passage, in Matthew chapter 15. We've seen the origin of this tree that Jesus describes as the Pharisees. We've seen the kind of life that they live in deceiving themselves and deceiving others as well, and then leading them into the pit too. But then lastly, we see the destiny of both of these trees too. This we find again in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. This is what Jesus said. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted, he will root up. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted, he will root up. This is described in the previous parable that we looked at in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the weeds, where Jesus says at the end of the age, what will happen is they will gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burnt, but gather the wheat into his barn. You see, the life that is lived in rejection to God's word and in rejection to the application of God's word is not only a life devoid of God and his rich blessings, but it's also a life headed towards judgment. This again is the picture that we find in Isaiah chapter 5 when we consider what the nation of Israel would face as a result of their rebellion away from God and away from God's word. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 5, we read this. And now I will tell you of what I will do to my vineyard. This is God telling them what he will do to Israel. I will remove its hedges, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hewed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that the rain, that they will not rain upon it. This is what will happen. A judgment will come against the people of Israel because of their rejection of the word of God. This is exactly true of the fate of the Pharisees that Jesus describes in Matthew 15. But it's also depicted for us in the fate of the wicked in the Psalm 1. In Psalm 1 verse 4, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You see, this is what's going to happen. The Pharisees, who have set themselves up as these teachers of the law, they are teaching the commandments of men rather than the commandments of God. They're calling people, they're binding people's conscience to things that God has never bound their conscience to and never commanded them to do. And the result is that they ignore the plain teaching of what God actually wants them to do. They have been teachers of the law, but they have not taught the law as accurately as they should have. They have obscured it. They have put it behind a veil. And they have not shown it in all of its clarity and beauty. And the result is that they themselves have been carried away by their own sinful hearts that they have within them. And that, in fact, is part of the reason why they were false teachers to begin with, because of their hearts unchanged by the grace of God. Their result, the end result for the wicked, those who do that, is judgment. This is exactly how we find this description in Isaiah chapter 5, in Jeremiah chapter 17, and also in John chapter 15. But what about the destiny of the tree that we had described previously as the flourishing tree? The blessed man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but walks in the way of the Lord. The blessed man who has been saved by Christ and has been renewed by his grace, who knows the love of God in Christ Jesus as the love which is set upon him, who knows the forgiveness of sins through the cross of Christ and knows Jesus as his intercessor, who knows God as his Father and knows that he is filled with the Holy Spirit, the one who knows that the word of God is for him each day and he walks in it and does not walk by sight but by faith. What about this person? What kind of fate will they face? It tells us in the psalm that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. And unlike the fate of the wicked, where the wicked will perish and be taken from the land forever, we read that the righteous will stand in the courts of the Lord, with the Lord, joyfully forever. They will be like a tree who has grown into full flourish. They will be what God has really meant for humanity to be. A humanity who lives towards God. A humanity who knows God. A humanity who trusts upon God's grace and leans upon his word. So we've seen the origin of these trees. We've seen the life that they live. We've seen the destiny that they face. And you might ask, trees, make this relevant to my life. How are trees relevant to my life? Let me give some applications for us as we think about how all of this is really life transforming. The first thing that we have to pay careful attention to is you have to be careful about who you allow to influence your life. Who are the ones that you call teacher? Are those people that you call teacher really the ones that you should be sitting under? Or are you sitting under the counsel of the wicked? And how do you judge what should be a good teacher and what should be a bad teacher? Is it merely their academic credentials, their knowledgeability of the world and everything in it? Well, according to this passage, Jesus pushes us to actually see good teachers as having these two characteristics. They simply are this: conformity to God's word and bearing fruits of righteousness. This is exactly what Paul instructs Timothy in: conformity to God's word and bearing fruits of righteousness. Paul says to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. Doctrine there is just a teaching of the word of God and the life that is supposed to be lived in righteousness. What that means for you and me on a daily basis is that we should not be ingesting poison on a daily basis and think that the result will be that our hearts will not grow cold and hardened against God. I think we sometimes forget that this world and this culture is influenced so deeply by the powers of darkness. And they seek to influence us through everything, through books and film and speakers and media and laws and everything else. And what we need to remember is that this culture ultimately believes a lie. They believe a heresy. They believe we can live and flourish without God. They believe that we don't need the morality of the Bible. They believe that we can be good without being transformed in our hearts through Jesus Christ. They believe we can all live in harmony and peace without the Holy Spirit. They believe a heresy. And we should remember that when we are confronted with their teaching. And we should then think about who we allow ourselves to be influenced by. The second way we can apply this to ourselves is that we should be grounded in the Word of God. That means we should be reading the Word of God, to know the Word of God. Just as the psalmist has said, blessed is the man who is like a tree, because his delight is in the law of the Lord. This is someone who meditates upon the law of the Lord daily. The picture that we find in Psalm 119 is someone who loves the Word of God, who cherishes the Word of God. This is the book of books to them. I once read a story of King Frederick the Great, who lived in the 18th century, and he was so obsessed with the philosophy of one of the German scholars that every night he had a special servant bring it out of his locked chest into his bedroom through a ceremonial procession so that he might read a single page of it and then go to sleep. This man was following all kinds of other philosophies, but he thought it as precious. Who of us think of the Word of God in this kind of way? We need to think about the Word of God as life-giving and true and righteous and giving us light and life for everything that we need. We need to meditate upon it. We need to use our best thoughts to think about it. And we need to ask the Lord to soften our hearts continually that we might be responding to it rightly. The third application is that we need to focus on Christ, who is the source of life. We need to focus on Christ, who is the source of life. Can you see what happened to the Judaism in the first century and the Pharisees in the first century? When they were led away by these Pharisees who were implementing all these laws, and it's so amazing that these very laws and traditions they implemented hardened them against the Messiah that came to save them. So that when Jesus appeared, they didn't recognize him as the Messiah. They were hardened to the life-giving power of Jesus. And this should not be so amongst us. We should study the Word of God. We should know the Word of God. But we should know the source of life is in Jesus himself. And then the last application for this. If you're going to be a tree that flourishes and grows, you're going to be pruned by your Heavenly Father. And what that means is difficulty. What that often means is suffering. But what it means is that all your suffering and difficulty, all your persecution and hardship is actually forged and formed by your Heavenly Father who wants your best. Your Heavenly Father who wants your sanctification, who wants your glorification, who wants you to be there on the final day of judgment, rejoicing in Christ and pointing to Him as the source of all your salvation, who wants you to be with Him in heaven forever and ever. The sufferings that you then endure, as Paul says, are brief and momentary, and they'll soon pass away. But what God is doing in you in the midst of them is He is allowing you to become hardened towards sin and softened towards His grace. So may this be the kind of tree that God forms us all into. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we recognize that we need your grace. And we need more of your Son. And we need a greater realization of what you have done for us through Jesus. We need more of the work of your Holy Spirit within us. So we come before you this evening humbled, repentant of our hardness, and repentant of our desire to listen to and depend upon the wisdom of men rather than the wisdom of God. We pray, O Lord, that you would make you yourself our teacher, that we would listen to your word, and that we would be formed by your word. We'd be formed by Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.